This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Joyce Gore with the top business stories of the day. Let's get straight into it and begin with the Grab-Uber merger. Latest news is that another player could be lurking in the corners, mm-hmm. or in the shadows, and that's Indonesia's Gojek. It's set to announce its first expansion into another country in Southeast Asia in the next few weeks. Now, will that country be Malaysia?
Yeah, but that's what everyone's asking. So, Sharad, basically, Reuters cited an internal company email that said preparations are well underway and within the next few weeks, their first new country launch will be announced. And this will be followed by three other countries in Southeast Asia by the middle of the year. So, the email quoted Gojek's chief executive officer, Nadiem Makurim.
Yeah, so, you know, today the company just operates in Indonesia. It operates in about 50 cities there. It started off essentially as a motorcycle taxi service. So that's how they got their name. Basically, it's an Indonesian term for motorcycle taxis or Ojek.
Yeah, Gojek, Ojek.
Okay, now look, there are 10 countries in ASEAN. Indonesia is where Gojek is now. They're going to expand it to the remaining 9 countries. That's 4 out of 9. Chances that it's coming to Malaysia are very good, don't you think? Considering we look at demographics and other issues that go into the decision to move into these markets.
Potentially, because Makurim did not name the countries targeted for expansion in the email, but Gojek, the chief tech officer, had previously said that it aimed to set up operations in Philippines this year. And, you know, of course, speculation is rife which other countries they'll want to go to. At the end of the day, boils down to their business strategy that they want to adopt, whether they're going to go to a market that has a mature ride-hailing customer base already that will adopt it quite fast. But then again, that will also mean Grab has a big market share.
Yeah,
right there already, right? Mm. Compared to another option where if you enter into a market that's not so mature when it comes to ride-hailing, people are not ready yet. But then again, Grab is not as strong there.
Right, you might have first-mover advantage and such.
But the thing is, if you look at, let's come into Malaysia, I think one of the things is Malaysia is quite a mature market. Grab has obviously now a majority market share. And so it would be interesting to see whether Malaysia would be one of the key early markets that they go into. But the key thing, I think, for them from a key success factor will have to be how they localize their services and adapt really to the Malaysian market.
Okay, speaking of localizing, what has Gojek done in Indonesia that's very interesting? What could they bring to the table if they come to markets like Malaysia?
Well, Gojek was launched in 2010, right? And they started off, as we were talking about earlier, as a motorcycle taxi service. They have evolved over time, and today they're in payments, food delivery, and even hairdressers, as well as massages on demand. So that's quite interesting. It's quite different from your usual ride-hailing kind of business, right?
So it'd be quite interesting to get someone to come over and get a give you a massage, right?
Or your hairdresser as well is quite different. I mean, but it depends on the local market. Is there demand as well? I think in Indonesia, there is, obviously, with the traffic jam and all that. And also, what services do they want to offer in the different markets? But what Gojek has right now is they do have a war chest to expand, because recently they raised over $1.5 billion, and you know their current backers are quite big names like Alphabet's. I mean, they are big names like Alphabet's Inc., Google, BlackRock, and even Singapore's Temasek.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, with those, the battleground now for Southeast Asia is really poised for a further, you know, locking of horns. So you have Gojek on one hand, and then the other hand, perhaps then Grab. Now, Gojek has kind of no choice, because if they stay in Indonesia, basically Grab will come and attack them. So
Grab is already actually in there trying to fight in Indonesia
exactly.
as well, because
so
Indonesia is a very hot market in Southeast Asia.
Exactly.
The population there is huge, so much potential, right, Brian?
Yeah, so what they have to do then, essentially from a competitive strategy basis, really attack your competitor in the markets that they are strong as well.
Okay, so you have that. This is the corporate story, right? The giants trying to battle each other. They have their backers and such. But what about the consumer? And how are consumers, as well as the workers, I mean, the people who drive these cars, how are we going to fare while these giants battle it out? One of the things I do fear, mm-hmm. With the dominant position of Grab in the country now, at least in the Klang Valley, is that prices will go up.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are talking about that, the potential of that. But, you know, we still have to wait and see what Grab will do. But governments have come out to talk about this. Malaysian government has said that it may take legal action if Grab increases fares. There's also the Competition Act 2010 here to prevent large enterprises in manipulating the price of goods and services. I think over in Singapore as well, right, Brian?
Absolutely, the government said because something? The Land Transport Authority said on Monday, so this is 26th of March, that it will ensure that no single market player dominates the sector to the detriment of commuters and drivers. Now, that's a very strong statement, I think, really to protect both sides of the equation.
But, you know, this is a situation where the algorithm in the system determines price, right? So you know that if you're a Grab user, you could use the same service on a different day, the price will change because it's not about the distance solely, it's about the demand. So you can have surges in price because of higher demand at that point in time.
There's also the supply of drivers. So it's whether or not there are how many drivers are there. It's the balance of supply
right, so
and demand.
So it's an algorithm, right? So how does the government come in and say, well, you're now profiteering when their argument, or Grab's argument, will be that actually this is how the system is set up.
But Sharad, very simple. You set price ceilings on distances and variations, for example, on base. So for example, you cannot charge more than 30% on the average fare per day. That would be a mechanism then to control it.
Well, sure. I guess in today's age where everything is data and you can look, they can check back, right, on the prices and how much they are charging for that distance, given if it's raining and all that. I mean, there's a lot of data, a lot of analytics behind it. I'm sure there's something that a government can monitor in a way.
Well, it can monitor, but it also goes back to the question of, you know, business-friendly governments. How much does the government want to be tinkering in matters where the free market might actually be providing adequate pricing?
Okay, so fair enough. The free market is providing adequate pricing. In fact, we've had lower pricing than taxi fares, for example, by using Grab and Uber over the last couple of years. Mm. So that has been to a consumer benefit. Now, however, when there is a consumer detriment, that's when the government should step in. Again, a factor of how many percent of the average increase in price. That's the way to do it.
In Singapore as well, the government has, they have this competition watchdog that has the power to review mergers and acquisitions. So they will also be looking into this M&A to see whether or not they approve it.
Okay, let's move on to the next story. Today's Edge Financial Daily highlighted the fact that the market capitalization of about 10 companies is set to overtaken some of the component stocks of the FBM KLCI. Now, given the changes in market cap, it'll be interesting to see how this will affect the upcoming review of the 30 component stocks of the index. The review is scheduled for May.
Now, why are we taking a look at this? Well, 10 companies overtaking existing FBM KLCI component stock market capitalization. That's quite significant. Also, the one other fact that is quite significant is that it comes from a very broad base of industries. That's something that we should note of. So let's take a look at some of the specific stocks and themes. So we've got the glove manufacturers like Top Glove and Hartalega. Aviation, we've got Air Asia and Malaysian Airports. Oil and gas and chemicals, we've got Dialog Group and Lotte Chemical.
Yeah, we also have consumer stock that is F&N Holdings, Ports, that's West Ports, and Property and Construction, SP Satir and Gamuda. So out of these 10 companies, 5 are on the reserve list.
Now, okay, so you have these companies poised to enter into the index. Index is limited to 30 companies. Somebody's going to have to move out. Do we have any sense of those companies that actually might fall out of the index as a consequence of these 10 moving into the index?
Well, the thing is, let's look at what's happened in the previous time. In November 2017, two changes were made on the list. Basically, IGM and British American Tobacco were replaced by Press Metal Aluminium and Nestle. Now, Nestle had a very positive impact on their stock. It's gone up from 97 ringgit and 30 cent to close at 149 ringgit 70 cent yesterday. Press Metal initially did rally, but however, the price has slipped back 11% year to date. Now, since being dropped from the date, British American Tobacco, for example, their stock has declined from about 40 ringgit to about 26.92 yesterday.
Coming back to your question, Sharad, I think some of the laggards in the FBM-KLCI right now is Astro, AMMB and KLCCP Staple Group. Their market capitalization has fallen. So potentially, I mean, we'll have to look and see what happens.
Right, and we're already calling them laggards. Not very nice. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with a look at the stock market and opening numbers. More news and analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.